This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Northwest Safe. There is a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The homelessness crisis.
So Mark DeFaccio is the principal owner with a business called Harbor Island Machine Works. It's on Harbor Island in West Seattle, and he's been fighting for his business in West Seattle. He's been doing his best to make sure that the homeless guy who's living in a derelict RV stops harassing him, stops harassing his employees, stops parking his RV in front of his business so no one can get inside. And the city has been doing absolutely nothing. They're not actually helping. They're not interested in helping. They have a council member in Lisa Herbold who has been getting in the way of the city's attempt, at least via the navigation team, to actually clean up the situation on the ground. And so DeFaccio, he decided to do two things, basically. Number one, he came on this show, right? He talked to the media, trying to put a spotlight on this particular issue. But number two, he ended up putting two ecology blocks in front of his business to stop the homeless dude from parking his RV, blocking people from accessing the actual business. And he admitted that to us. He admitted that to Como.
There either needs to be no parking, or we need something there to keep that from becoming occupied because it's too close to our business.
It's too close to our business. The homeless man's name, by the way, Gizmo, which, again, you know, you put that on a resume, you put that on a job application, Gizmo is your name, you're going to get judged.
I disagree. I think it shows personality.
Okay. Yeah, what kind of personality?
A fun one, a clownish one. Maybe okay. Doubles as a entertainer. I don't know.
Yeah. Or a clown, you mean?
Right.
So Gizmo, previously, when this individual tried to do something, Mark DeFaccio tried to do something about the situation, Gizmo claimed at the time that it was basically a hate crime against him. And since then, we have an update now. Cops arrived. They ended up arresting Gizmo. They arrested him on a 6-month-old warrant because he was violating his probation on a reckless driving conviction. So he's got a little bit of a questionable past, at least as much as it is for reckless driving. And now he's telling Como TV's Matt Markovich, friend of the show, that he's now being treated unfairly.
I have to survive, so I provide my own space, and then I'm still shunned upon and not anything really provided to help us get better, just tickets and harassment.
They give you a sticker to move your stuff, and then they take you to jail, so you can't move your stuff. Well, did that seem unfair?
Yeah.
Did it, though? I mean, is it unfair? You had a warrant out because you violated the probation of your reckless driving conviction. It doesn't quite seem unfair that at some point you actually are punished, however briefly, for it. This is a dude who violated his probation that is not being treated unfairly. Meanwhile, speaking of treating things unfairly, let's go back to Mark DeFaccio, the owner of this business. The city got involved then. City completely ignoring the problem with Gizmo, maybe because he had such a winning personality, producer Tom.
Well, I mean, his name would suggest he does.
Yeah, okay, fine. But they didn't take that sort of hands-off approach when dealing with the business owner because they had him move his ecology blocks.
The law should be equally, treat everyone equally under the law. Clearly, policies that they have enacted are not functioning correctly. Poor policies is their fault.
So he applied.
Is this a poor policy? What's happening on your street?
Say
absolutely.
Yes. So he applied for a permit with the Seattle Department of Transportation to keep the blocks in the public right of way in front of his business. He's waiting to hear back from them on that. Something tells me they're going to say no because SDOT doesn't really care. The only thing that's unfair in the treatment here is the treatment of citizens. Citizens who pay taxes, citizens who adhere to the law. DeFaccio keeps putting blocks there. What ends up happening? He gets fined. And then he gets fined again and again and again and again. He will get fined to death. And if he chooses not to pay that, guess what happens? He goes to jail. That seems rather unfair given the circumstances here that the city doesn't actually want to get involved. What happens with Gizmo? He keeps violating the law over and over and over and over again. And then maybe once every 6 or 7 months, he suffers a minor consequence. That's what ends up happening to Gizmo. That's what maybe some people might call privilege. Maybe Gizmo is a privilege name.
I figured,
Yeah.
He says his buddies can drive him to work, right? I mean, they just all pile in.
Yeah, he's he's complaining
plug.
Now because he doesn't have access to a license. It's now been suspended. He goes, I can't even move my RV every 72 hours because I'm not allowed to legally drive. Something tells me, and he says, oh, I've got a friend who will. Something tells me he's been violating the law.
I'm sure he has a
friend. I'm just throwing that out there. As the dude who was just arrested for violating his probation from reckless driving, something tells me he's not calling in a friend every time he needs to move his car just a couple feet so it doesn't get towed. It's absolutely ridiculous. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Wait, what?
So the city of Ferndale, did you know that they're really, really woke? I didn't know that about Ferndale, but I found out that they're super woke, that they've decided to use tax dollars in what is essentially a giant virtue signal, and like all virtue signals, mostly unnecessary. They just denounced white supremacy in a resolution, and when you look closely at the resolution that was originally put out there, there was a hidden vulgar message that manages to overstate the issue while also mocking it completely. So some dude had posted, and we talked about this at the time. I remember the story was some, I think it was last February, maybe it was a few months ago, where some dude was posting what they're described as white supremacist recruitment flyers. They don't actually say what the content is, but I went back and I looked at a story from a couple months ago, which again is what I'm assuming this is from. One of the flyers that was up and almost immediately taken down simply said, keep America American. And it's absolutely meant to be a racist flyer. There is a white supremacist organization's name attached to this. It was supposed to be an offensive message. And again, it was immediately taken down. But still, even though it was immediately taken down, even though the police were aware of it, Councilmember Rebecca Czar says white supremacists like to make noise in small towns like hers, and she wanted to bring attention to it.
From what I've heard, they often will kind of test the waters, especially in smaller communities, and see if there's interest. If they get people to respond, then they might come back. So that's part of this, that we're trying to make a statement saying that we don't want that set up here.
So she doesn't want that set up in Ferndale. Very quickly, let's just do a show of hands. And folks at home, I'm trusting you will participate. Do so if you can do it safely. Raise your hand if you thought white supremacists were allowed in Ferndale up until they decided to go with this resolution. Okay, I'm assuming no one put up their hands except for the one joker like producer Tom who wanted to do it. But other than that, everyone kind of understood that before this resolution was actually passed, they weren't all like, oh, come on down, white supremacists. We'd love to have you. They clearly didn't need a resolution to do this. And now, of course, my question is, will you then be condemning anti-Semitism, which is growing in this country? What about homophobia? Are you going to condemn that? Because if you don't, by the way, I'm going to assume you support homophobia and anti-Semitism. And even worse, oh my gosh, as a gay Jew, I might not even want to go to Ferndale. What about prejudice against little people? Can you also do a resolution there? They're pretending that they're heroes for putting up this resolution. And in this resolution, they basically talk about how heroic they are because they're standing in the way of white supremacy. I don't think anyone in Ferndale is appreciative or supportive of white supremacy. Now, if you've got a legitimate problem of white supremacy starting to grow in Ferndale, which they make no mention of, so I'm assuming that this is all proactive, it's preventative. If you've got a problem, well, then go after the problem with some meaningful solutions, because the resolution doesn't mean absolutely anything to someone who's a quote-unquote literal Nazi. But you would think they'd take something like this seriously, but they didn't. They decided in the original resolution, if you look at the first letter of the first sentence in each point, it has a vulgar message towards Nazis, F Nazis, although they spell it a little bit differently, but it was done apparently with intention.
It was not something I realized initially, which is why it has been changed since the original version. I mean, it was funny at first, but we changed it. It is a very serious topic, and we didn't want that to detract in any way. We wanted it to be serious and be taken seriously.
We are needlessly freaking people out and telling folks that Nazis are running around. And what ends up happening, and we've seen it already happen in Seattle, and we've seen it happen in Portland, and we've seen it happen in D.C. and New York and L.A. and San Francisco and so many other places, that quickly devolves into this claim that anyone who gets in the way of Antifa violence is somehow in favor of fascism. That if you're not a woke progressive. If you don't hold those positions near and dear to your heart, if you're not alongside the quote-unquote anti-fascists who are using violence as a means to suppress political opposition, not just quote-unquote literal Nazis, if you're not with them, you're against them. If you're against them, that means by the sheer definition of being against anti-fascism means you're a fascist. They use this to feed a false narrative that President Trump is enabling Nazis because, of course, he's also a Nazi. That's what they believe. And at the same time that we're having all of this conversation, no conversation at all about the Dayton shooter. No conversation about significant violence in Portland thanks to Antifa. CNN pretended that there wasn't violence. It was peaceful. The violence that we all saw happen didn't really happen. Not really. You've got active members of Congress pushing anti-Semitism. But yes, let's pretend that we've got this massive Nazi problem in the city of Ferndale because it makes people feel really, really woke. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text. Did you know that I'm on Instagram? Oh, you did? Why haven't you followed me? Fire up that Instagram app. Search for the screen name Jason Rantz, JSONRANTZ. Give me a follow, and I'll take you behind the scenes of the special studio that I'm broadcasting in today. Where actually, technically, I'm on location. It's a remote broadcast.
It's right next door in my studio.
Yeah, but it's a remote broadcast. You had to do a special setup. I'm not in the normal space that I am usually when I do the show. I've got your stupid face looking at me the entire time.
Oh, yeah,
the way that this studio is set up makes it so it's impossible not to stare at each other, and I'm very uncomfortable.
I hate it.
It's the worst. And it's too hot in here. Can you lower the AC and then let's find out what's trending?
No, because you just called my face stupid.
It's not my fault. You'd say the same thing.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, hold on. I'll do it. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Celebrity news.
Yeah, but it's not working. The AC doesn't work in here. Dancing with the Stars is a wildly popular show for some reason. It should not be wildly popular. I don't understand this. The concept is simple. A bunch of celebrities that aren't really celebrities. These were celebrities 10, 20, 30 years ago in most cases. They don't know how to dance, and then they learn to dance, and then you vote them out.
Middle-aged women are getting offended everywhere.
You can get offended all you want. I don't understand why people like the show. I don't even find it particularly well done. It's just a stupid reality show, but everyone loves it.
It's very well done.
No, it's not.
Well,
if you like, if you care, if you care about dance, you'll watch a professional dance show like a So You Think You Can Dance. That was done really, really well. The choreography was great. I bought into some of the storylines. This is just some celebrity you've never heard of. And the only difference this time is it's more controversial. Because they announced that Sean Spicer was going to be on this show, and you're not supposed to give Sean Spicer any attention. You're not supposed to treat him like a human being. You're not supposed to push him up at all because he's tied to the Trump administration. He's a conservative, and thus he, of course, is, like we said in the Ferndale site, he's basically a Nazi. And so what is this? Dancing with the Nazis? People are legitimately upset. In fact, the host, Tom Bergeron, he was upset with this, and he kind of went on Twitter with he didn't do a screed, but he put up a statement that was very passive-aggressive, and he said that he had hoped that this season would, quote, would be a joyful respite from our exhausting political climate and free of inevitably divisive bookings from any party affiliations. Then he described how he met with the new executive producer of the show. His name is Andrew Linares. And he said, hey, I made my feelings known to this producer, and I was, quote, convinced we were in agreement. But apparently they were not, and so he wrote, subsequently, and rather obviously, a decision was made to, as we often say in Hollywood, go in a different direction. So it's very much a passive-aggressive hit at Sean Spicer. And what I find particularly interesting in this, he calls out Sean Spicer, essentially, he's implying that he's a divisive person because of his political background. And to be fair, he said of any party affiliation, just didn't want politicians on there, which is weird because you've had politicians on the show before. But calling it divisive and then immediately doing this in an interview on Good Morning America seems weird.
The nice thing is Sean will be in charge of assessing audience size throughout the entire.
That kind of feels divisive. Now, he's having fun with it, clearly. It's a joke. It's not like I'm offended. But the way that he delivered that question or that statement was kind of divisive, right? Aren't you playing into the divisiveness? But you told me you didn't want to be divisive. You didn't want anybody to do that. So why would it be the first thing that you do when talking to Sean Spicer is make a joke about a divisive part of our political history?
That wasn't that divisive.
He believes that the mere presence of Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars, because of the political political affiliations, is divisive. The first thing he does is bring up a controversial part of Sean Spicer working with the Trump White House. I'm just saying, if you didn't want to highlight the politics of it all, you would have kept politics completely out of it.
Well, you may be right, but I mean, first of all, I'm a Tom Bergeron fan.
Tom Bergeron is a hack. He just stands there and he says, "Oh, well, judges, tell us how these crappy dancers just did."
No, but he also does America's Funniest Home Videos where he's
he reads a script.
Jokes about all of the celebrities. And to be honest, he's right. It is politically divisive to bring Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars. It is, 100%.
To me, Lamar Odom, more divisive.
No, you know what's funny? Ray Lewis, too, is...
Well, let's go through the announcement, just because I know a lot of people weirdly like this stupid show.
First up, Karamo Brown from Queer Eyes.
Yeah!
I've heard of him.
It's the Bachelorette, Shannon Brown.
I'm excited about that one, not going to lie.
And now, country superstar Lauren Elena.
She has one song.
I have no clue who that is. What's her name?
Lauren Elena.
I have no... She's a superstar? Is she really a superstar?
She has like one hit song.
You're not a superstar if you're on Dancing with the Stars.
A personal favorite here. Dawson from Dawson Street. Everybody, James Vanderbeek.
Okay, James Vanderbeek is the best. I want him to win.
NFL legend, Ray Lewis.
I don't know who that is. He's what?
A murderer.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And from The Office...
No clue who that is.
You ever see The Office?
Yes.
Redhead.
Yeah, no clue.
She is a pop sensation, a friend of the show, Miss Allie Brooks.
Who? Who's that?
I don't know.
And are you ready for NBA royalty? Yeah, that's tomorrow.
They didn't properly microphone her announcement.
The crowd might.
The crowd is too hot.
Remembering Kenan and Kel and all that, it's Kel Mitchell.
I don't remember who.
That was a show. I think he did a show with Kenan Thompson from SNL. Is that his name, Kenan Thompson?
Okay.
Straight from the briefing room is Sean Spicer.
He got the same amount of applause as everybody else.
And lastly, she's the supermodel and uptown girl, Christy Brinkley, my friends.
Wow. That's, yeah.
It's going to be pretty incredible, and it'll show where our country's at when Ray Lewis is going to get more supporters than a White House press
secretary. So you think Sean Spicer gets kicked out first over Ray Lewis?
I don't know if it'll be first, but Ray Lewis will go
last.
As long as all other things equal.
Who's the audience? Am I to believe, because this really goes into this, am I to believe that a hardcore progressive Seattle audience watches this, but not sort of the more conservative, middle-aged couple in Topeka? Who watches this? Because if it is sort of a show for progressives, which I don't think it is, then he's gone the first week. But I'm assuming that this is really popular in middle America.
Probably.
So that actually bodes well for him. And weirdly, let's say he lasts a really long time. The longer he lasts, the bigger symbolism it would be of uniting this country, weirdly.
Well, if he's a good dancer.
Well, because they don't judge him in dancing stuff. No one's good in the first week.
Sean Spicer's dance
moves. It kind of does, doesn't it? So if he's out in the first week, people will say, oh, we got rid of the Nazi. If he lasts and maybe goes all the way to the end, despite all the progressive anger about this, we would say, hey, you know what? Maybe we're not as divided as we thought because Sean Spicer made it to the end and he's going up against Christy Brinkley and Vanderbeek.
So that's what the DWTS casting was thinking. They were thinking, let's bring the country together.
We live in divisive times, and so let's bring Sean Spicer. Poor Sean Spicer, by the way, who doesn't know what to do after, because once you do that, once you're the spokesperson, you maybe get a steady job on a TV station. He does some hits on Fox News every once in a while. It's kind of it. I don't think he's an official analyst. Been on there more than he has. Okay, he pretends to be happy. I met him. He has a fake smile just like, oh, this is my life. I have to sit next to this talk show host at a dinner.
They get to dance and make money now, so.
He's not making any money. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the NumBetter Tax Resolution Hotline. You are listening to The Jason Rand Show. And you're listening to The Jason Rand Show. When we come back, law enforcement agencies just lost a critical tool to protecting not just you, but also other officers. They lost it all because of a sanctuary policy. We're going to get into it with the commander of the Black Diamond Police Department. You've been listening to What's Trending, brought to you by KeelMortgage.com. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770, KTTH, and 94.5 FM in the Greater East Side. A critical tool in sharing information between law enforcement agencies has been shut down for the Seattle Police Department and the King County Sheriff's Office all over our city and county sanctuary policies. Now, the program is called Links, and it essentially lets law enforcement agencies share notes on investigations. Apparently, ICE has access to the software, and thus it violates the sanctuary policy in some folks' opinion, though I'm not aware of a single agency that actually documents a criminal's citizenship. Joining me on the line to discuss is Larry Colagiovanni. He's the commander at Black Diamond Police Department. Larry, thank you so much for coming on.
It's good to be with you again, Jason.
So do you have access right now to Links?
We do.
Okay. Take us through exactly how you use it.
We utilize it quite a bit. Our guys utilize it almost every day on traffic stops. One of the things they're able to do for an officer safety standpoint is run the people they have pulled over, run their license plates, things like that, to see if there's any type of criminal history on the person, anything that officer safety bulletins, anything they should know about. We also utilize it in in-depth investigations. We use it to identify suspects, victims. Sometimes, Jason, you know, we have a suspect, we don't know their address, mm-hmm. Things like that. We're able to utilize the system for that. Same with victims and witnesses. That's the main way that we do it, use it. The other thing we do a lot with it in our task force that we have, that we investigating major crimes, is we use it to develop intel. You know, we're able to go in and look at a suspect or an address, almost anything you can think of. We can go in and look at it to say, hey, has there been any previous incidents similar to what we're working, and help us to develop leads in cold cases, unsolved major cases. So it's a really, really valuable tool.
And it's something that it's not just a tool for Washington state agencies. This is something that the entire country, law enforcement agencies, contribute to.
That's correct. When you actually log into the system, it has a bunch of checkboxes, and you can check how small of an area or how wide of an area you want to search.
So then what take us through then the impact this is going to have now that King County Sheriff's deputies and SPD officers are not able to contribute to this database?
Well, for us, from a small agency, and then our coalition of small police agencies, which is 12 agencies in King County, we really rely on the county, and that being the Sheriff's Office, as well as Seattle PD, to upload their data into the system. Them being the largest two agencies in the county, clearly they respond to the most incidents. So that's really going to dampen how much we get to see in the system. And most agencies do upload stuff in there. But like I said, I mean, the amount of calls that they deal with, the amount of major crimes they deal with, it really is going to be impactful for us. I know personally I've used the system quite a bit. And most of the stuff that I usually find, intelligence-wise, phone numbers, addresses, are usually reports that were uploaded by the county or uploaded by SPD. So it's going to be a huge impact for us.
Well, and there's some clear confusion here because there's no consistency. If SPD is deciding to get rid of the access to this tool, and the King County Sheriff's Office is as well, citing essentially this ordinance of a sanctuary county ordinance, or in the case of Seattle, a sanctuary city policy, you guys are in King County. Bellevue PD
Correct.
Is in King County. Bellevue PD still has access to Links the same way you do. And so do you have a better understanding as to why it's being shut off some places but not others?
I don't understand it, I'll be honest with you. I have a difficult time understanding it. And it's a matter of priorities, in my opinion. Officer safety, obviously, is the first priority. You know, our victims, identifying suspects, those, in my opinion, should be the priorities. when being looked at by an agency, whether or not to be involved in it. It just seemed like it was a real radical approach to just completely shut it down.
Yeah.
And I hope, Jason, that with the system being shut down at SPD and the county, that they're at least looking at ways, those agencies, to try to utilize the system. That it wasn't just a complete shutdown. We're not using it. That's that. I hope in this time that they do have it shut down, that there are other ways they can figure out how to use it. And, you know, for instance, we utilize the system here. We do not upload our reports into the system, and it's not because of any political reason or anything. It was a matter of our report system at the time when we got links was not compatible with links. So it was just a procedural thing, which we're getting ready to fix. But we can view the intelligence in
mm-hmm.
it. So by shutting down the county detectives, SPD detectives, and their officers completely, those detectives working major crimes, working gang crimes, gun crimes, they can't even log into the system to see what other agencies have uploaded in there.
Yeah.
So it just seemed to me like kind of a radical approach to just completely shut them off.
Just joining me, I'm talking with Commander Larry Colagiovanni of the Black Diamond Police Department. We're talking about a move recently by the SPD and the King County Sheriff's Office to turn off access to Lynx, which is a piece of software that connects law enforcement agencies from all across the country. You're able to upload notes of investigations that you're working on. And officers, deputies, they're using this during not just stops to make sure that the person they're encountering isn't dangerous, but it's also being used as part of longer-term investigations, cold cases, where maybe they're able to connect someone they're looking to, say, in Black Diamond with a murder potentially in Phoenix. So there's the way of sharing this information that's now been cut down. And Larry, you know, the reason it seems to be cut down is because it is in violation, some believe, of the county ordinance of Sanctuary County, and we'll see what the Sanctuary State law will have an effect on the Lynx program. But do you get information on this that tells us of the citizenship status?
No, that is absolutely not in there.
Do you ever upload it at any point? Because I'm trying to figure out, because my sense is they think because ICE has access to this, that somehow you're helping ICE deport people. And it doesn't sound like that's actually what it's being used for.
No, and I would imagine, obviously I don't work for ICE, but I would imagine ICE probably utilizes the database in the same way we do, you know, and they may have information on somebody that they're investigating, and they simply go into this system to look for recent addresses, contact information, you know, what type of cases they were involved in. Were they, for instance, the person they're looking at, Jason, involved in a violent crime?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it somebody that should be, deported because they, like I said, they were arrested, committed for violent crime. So I would imagine that's probably how they're utilizing the system, like everybody else would.
Do you put normal, non-serious criminal activity in this? So let's say I get pulled over for speeding. Does my information get put into this program?
No.
Okay, so then
really
what we're talking about here, if ICE were to use it, it sounds like they would be looking for someone who had already committed a violent act of some kind or a serious crime, not someone who got pulled over for speeding or getting a jaywalk.
Correct. So, but what you can, just to kind of put the record straight, you can upload any police report in there. So if I just have contact with somebody who reports, for instance, their mail got stolen, you know, minor crime, I can upload that information. I can upload the report in there. So, you know, somebody in the area here has a similar case, or, hey, we got a whole bunch of mail thefts. You know, they can go ahead and look at it and go, hey, Black Diamond had one. So you can put any level in there of crimes. However, you know, we generally utilize it, especially with my major crimes task force, looking for violent criminals, looking for cases that are similar to what we're working. And what's interesting too, Jason, is Lynx isn't the only database we in law enforcement use. There's several other databases that are intelligence gathering databases as well. I'm wondering, are they, county and SPD, being shut down from those databases as well, because federal agencies have access to them as well?
Are you concerned that you're going to actually lose access to Lynx? Is there a concern?
Not in my agency. You know, we find it a valuable tool. I will tell you this, that, and in speaking with the chief here at Black Diamond, we both agree that this is a valuable tool and we will not give it up. However, like I said, the fact that we no longer will be able to see sheriff's office reports as well as SPD reports really does hurt the whole system and what it really is meant for.
It's ridiculous. And I'm hearing from a lot of cops and deputies who are saying this is a key tool that they've just lost access to in King County and Seattle. So hopefully it sort of stops. And hopefully we're putting a spotlight on this with the intent of maybe bringing it back. Because unless Dow Constantine, King County executive, is coming out there and making this bold declaration that this is a violation of the sanctuary policy, I feel like we should not be proactively giving up this tool.
But think about the officer, for instance, a county deputy, who's working in a rural area of the county. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. They pull over a car. Their nearest backup is 25, 30 minutes away. They no longer have the access and the ability to look up the person that they are stopped, checked out with, to see what kind of history that person mm-hmm. has, to see if they have a violent history. Do they have a history of having firearms in their vehicles, being in possession of firearms? They can't do that anymore. So that's kind of scary to me.
Yeah.
You know, and us being a small town with our officers working a lot, out there by themselves, it's scary to me that they will no longer be able to see that information.
Well, hopefully something changes relatively shortly. Every day that we don't get this turned back on is another day that we're putting an officer or a deputy's life needlessly on the line when they could have access to this information, that it's not being abused in any way to actually deport people. It's an absolutely ridiculous claim that some people are putting out there. I've been talking with Commander Larry Colagiovanni of the Black Diamond Police Department. Commander, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show. It's so funny because you and I, in the first segment, we were talking about Dancing with the Stars and Sean Spicer being on there. We got some texts on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline that suggests, you know, a lot of people said my grandparents loved the show and they're all hardcore conservatives. And that's kind of what I thought. And yet right now, you know what is the number two trending keyword on Twitter?
Spicy.
Nope. But it's related. Boycott Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
That's number two most trending keyword right now on Twitter.
Yeah, but it
gets... Not over. Hold on, sir. Because you made a point that I didn't even know about. Not only is Ray Lewis, who you say a murderer, on this show, not only is he getting no play whatsoever in the boycott movement, we're just not even talking about that. There's no mention of that. We're just saying he's an NFL legend or something.
Yes, that's what they say. They don't include the fact that he's a murderer. So Sean Spicer will be kicked off the show before a murderer. But you also have to account Twitter is kind of inflating what's trending nowadays.
Well, yes. Here's the truth about all of this. Just because something is trending on Twitter does not mean it's trending in real life. As Michael Knowles, our friend from the Daily Wire, says often, although maybe he stole this from someone else, but I'm going to credit him, Twitter is not real life. The things that happen on Twitter do not happen all the time in real life. Now, certainly when we're talking about massive movements, you're going to see a sort of overlap. But for the most part, and I've made this point before, the people who are calling for boycotts of anything are people who never were in the market for that product or never watched that show for which they're calling for the boycott. When we've got, oh my gosh, I can't believe product X advertises on the Tucker Carlson show. I'm going to boycott Hyundai or whatever it happens to be. I don't know if they advertise. You weren't in the market for a new car. So what do you mean you're going to boycott Hyundai? Oh, well, the next time I buy a car, it's not going to be a Hyundai. It's like, do you drive? No, I think it's bad for the environment. Like, you'll never drive in the future? No, I walk everywhere. Carbon footprint, zero. Okay, so then you telling me that you're going to boycott Hyundai doesn't actually mean anything. And yet you've got these companies, like various companies, or various product providers, who look online and they say, oh my God, Pampers is trending because someone's upset that we had an ad on Fox News at one point that we didn't even realize was going to be on the air. And we got to pull out all of our dollars because, oh my gosh, 12 people and some robots, some bots on Twitter decided to call out our company. Like, It's all contrived. It's all manufactured. No one's going to boycott Dancing with the Stars. No one will boycott Dancing with the Stars because the people who are calling for the boycott, I'm willing to bet, do not even watch it. And I can tell that because I'm looking at some of the Twitter feeds, the Twitter accounts. Now, most of these are very clearly bots because I'm going through right now. These look like completely fake accounts because the avatars are all porn stars. But now you find one that seems legit. Then you go into their profiles. It's like a 19-year-old kid. A 19-year-old kid is not watching Dancing with the Stars. Can we just stop with this nonsense? And by the way, also, and I think this is important, which is why I want to spend some time on it. So you know what I just did? I tweeted out the absurdity of the boycott Dancing with the Stars hashtag. I made the point of no one's going after Ray Lewis, but you're going after Sean Spicer. There's something wrong with you. Now,
hey, great point, Jason.
I know. I took it for. I gave you all the credit just now. Not on the tweet.
Not on Twitter.
Who are you? The thing is, I just contributed to the hashtag's popularity. That tweet gets counted in what's trending, right? And so just because it gets counted in what's trending, it doesn't actually give you the context. So right now, people are saying, oh, wow, there's a big movement for boycott Dancing with the Stars. But then when you go in and then when you separate out the porn stars, the porn bots that are doing it, which is sometimes hard to do because you get distracted usually when you're like, oh, my gosh, where have we gone as a nation? But then you look at some of them and there are people like me who are calling out the nonsense behind this, the lack of logic behind it. And so don't fall for these things. And you know what? I do hope that Sean Spicer stands strong. I do hope that Dancing with the Stars doesn't cave. It's not like all Sean Spicer did was get associated with a president they don't like. That's literally it. It's literally it.
Yeah, he did the job every other White House press secretary has ever done, ever.
They're all propagandists.
Yes.
Except for Dana Perina. She's my favorite. And she follows me on Twitter. And she sent me a nice note that one time. And then I asked her for a favor and she said, okay.
What was the favor?
To send my video when I was on Tucker to some producers there so I can get on other Fox shows. And I'm that stuff's in the works. So thank you, Dana.
That was months ago.
No, that was last week.
It's not last week.
No, it was last week when I asked her the favor.
Hmm.
The nice, kind note about how amazing I am, that was months ago. You're listening to The Jason Rancher. Two more hours coming up right here on AM 770 KTTH.